Hi, Kat.
Hey, Julie. Welcome. Welcome to Never Offside with Julie and Kat. Today's fun. Today's episode is fun, but we have a disclaimer. It's with Mandy and Carl Alsner, longtime Caps player. But we filmed with them last week. So this was pre-Ovi Mania.
right in the midst of the countdown. And now Ovi Watch is officially over. But although I think it's still going, because it's kind of like, how many more can he get, like, at the end of the season?
So you checked in with Mandy, though, today, because they were there last night at the celebrations.
Yes, it seems as though the celebration started right as the Caps traveled home from Long Island. And it all, you know, alumni, things like that, close to Ovi, everybody was celebrating last night together at a nice dinner and just get together. And just
how perfect is that, that they were on the East Coast and it was an early game, so they got back to DC by like 6 or something like that. Like,
it's all too perfect.
It's a little too perfect for our conspiracy brains.
Yeah.
Speaking of conspiracies, one of my best friends, she's a VP of something big at the Islanders, and she always makes fun of me for, you know, putting a tinfoil hat on every once in a while. But I'm going to pull up her text because she fueled this conspiracy. She texted me on March 26th and said, so I think there's an 120% chance now that Ovechkin breaks the record here.
Huh?
Huh? What? Caroline? What do you mean? How did you know that on March 26th?
We need to get her on this. Like, yeah. I mean, are they running like probability numbers and then it's just like averages
pace
out?
Yeah,
that
I'm
it's
sure.
Like likely. Wow. Whoever.
Yeah, it's over our heads, the stats and all that stuff. But I just die that, like, my one friend who's in the mix, you know.
Well, whatever. I was thinking, okay, let's dive into that, because the whole game, like, you know, we're sitting on with all my boys, we're sitting there, we're glued to this game. And it is like every time Ovi touched the puck, like, everybody just tenses up and starts screaming.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was like, just get him on the power play. Get him on the power play. And couldn't have been more fitting. But then the whole game stops. And yeah. I'm like, Jeff, what? And Jeff's like trying to get out the door because he's got an early game, but he's too enthralled with it, like, because he's watching history. And I'm like, but why are they stopping the whole game? They're rolling out carpets. Like, I had no clue that this was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it live. We had actually a baby shower and I was en route somewhere else too. But I saw Twitter. I was looking at Twitter while it was happening and everyone was like, wait, why is the game stopped right now?
I was floored, like, that is how. But I guess, like, this record will likely never be broken again. And this is just how something like this is honored, which
– yeah.
We've never seen really, like, in our hockey lifetime. Obviously, like, Wayne did it when he did it, but this, it was insane. I'm like, and then there was like the personalized carpet. So who's in charge of all that? Like, and how many games does this travel to? Because what if Ovi, like, hits a hat trick? Like, did you have the carpet packed in the?
Yeah, I'm sure it's like the Stanley Cup. You know, it's always ready to go, or like baseball, like they have to tape up the locker room, you know, just in case champagne's gonna flow, I guess. But yeah, I didn't really understand, as I wasn't watching live, that like everyone was like, why aren't we doing this after the game? But I guess it's just that exciting. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, but whatever. It was so cool and kind of emotional. Like,
yeah,
I'm not even connected to that at all. But
well,
really,
we're big fans now of
We are officially converted fans, and that was just the neatest thing to experience. And I don't know. I feel like we got to try to get Janet Gretzky on here or something. We got to, you know, the passing of the torch, essentially.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So
I know. That would be fun. Let's try Janet.
If you're listening.
Well, Carl and Mandy, I mean, Carl said that he had some more stories of Ovi that he'll tell us another time. So, but he does get into some good ones on this one. So,
yeah, it was fun to catch up with the Alsners and kind of just get their whole story of life in Washington. And it just is so fitting that this week is so, you know, Capitals focused, and excited for y'all to listen to the Allsners and their whole experience in the NHL.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
Hey everyone, Adnan and Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mandy, Carl, welcome to Never Offside. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Seriously, this is an honor. I'm so fired up. Seriously. So fired up that this is like a main event for us, like a hockey match. So I have my smelling salts here, my sniffer. So we're gonna crack that, give it a shake, give it a little sniff.
None for me, thanks.
Okay. That's how excited I am.
I love it.
What an
you
intro.
Guys.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yes, you as well, Kat.
Nice to meet you.
Kat, meet the Allsners. Never a dull moment with you guys. I'm like trying to, you know, describe our relationship and how fast of friends that Jeff and I became with y'all. And it's just all I can say is to know you guys is to love you guys. And anybody in the NHL that crossed paths with y'all, it was just the biggest blessing. And I'm so happy y'all are here. And to tie it all in, I think we go back to how we met, and that was in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And then we're tying Kat in. We're like, well, Kat was in Montreal maybe like the year after you left Montreal. So we're like, we're all one big happy family.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, the hockey world is a small world.
It is. And it's nice because I feel like, you know, we're all in this, I don't call it a mess, but you know, this mess together. And so you have, you have things that you can build off relationships really fast. And although we come from so many different walks of life, we have shared that common goal of winning the cup or getting into the playoffs, and we're all kind of towing the same line. So it's easy to make friends, I find, for the most part.
We've been really excited to interview a couple together. So this is our first.
Oh, we the first? So. Oh, my God.
You're the first couple. I couldn't picture anybody else. But before that, you guys played the bulk of your career in Washington, D.C. with the Capitals. And I remember I had gotten like, I don't want to say word of you guys, but like, you know, you like learn about people through the league because it is such a small world. And the Hendricks family, Matt and Kim Hendricks, had come to Edmonton from Washington. And he's like just an old vet, kind of that old school. What was he like? Maybe like an enforcer type, like.
Yes.
You know, and comes to Edmonton, just a great family too. They had young kids when Jeff and I had no kids. So they kind of they just like took us under their wing too. And nothing but amazing things to say about you guys. So when it came full circle and we got to meet in Montreal, it was the best. And you guys lived up to everything.
Yeah. When we signed in Montreal, when you sign somewhere, you're kind of hoping that you have maybe a girl there. That, and I didn't know anybody in Montreal, but I got a text from Kim that first day, and she's like, "Julie's there. You're gonna love her," and she wasn't wrong.
Yeah,
we hit it off immediately.
Kat, do you know the Hendrixes at all? Have you ever met Matt or Kim? Okay, so the best way to describe them is they're just like both of them combined. And I mean this in the nicest way possible, like just the grizzled vets, right? Just kind of, you know. Don't take any crap. It's just, you know, very cut and dry with them. Matt, we used to call him the wagon. Like, so he's one of my favorite human beings of all time. He would do this thing every single game where he would get dressed super, super early. And he'd come around the room and everybody would get a stick tap from him. And for whatever reason, if your number had a five in it, or if he could quickly add up your two numbers to equal five, then he would call you a wagon. So he would go around, if your number was 23, he'd go, all right, 2, 3, wagon. And then smack your shin pads. We had Jeff Schultz, who is 6'6", almost 6'7". And his number was 55. And Hendy would come around and he'd go, all right, double nickels, you old giraffe, you licking leaves all night tonight. And he would do like this pretend giraffe licking leaves thing with his mouth. And then he would just yell, wagon, smack, and then off to the next guy. He was just like the ultimate, you know, bring people together kind of person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Kim was similar on the wives' side, but at the same time, you know, they were late 20s, maybe early 30 at that time. So, yeah. You know, knew exactly where their lane was. And it was like, fit into this lane. This is the fast lane, the best lane, or let us pass you. And I love that about them.
Yes, they're the best.
Well, we love a good hockey nickname. So did you?
He's the wagon.
He is the wagon. He is the wagon. And they were.
Did you have one?
Probably have nicknames.
Yeah. So it was unfortunate because I wish I had a really sweet nickname. But I think people just thought the name Carl was kind of funny. So people just
Carl
loved
with a K.
Calling me Carl with a K. I think because I'm the opposite of crazy, people would just call me crazy, like Crazy Carl a lot. My nickname used to be Al back in the day, and then they kind of lost it. Junior kind of, and it went to Crazy Carl or just Crazy. So
I feel like you gave those nicknames to yourself. Oh yeah. The best one was, what was it? Schlemko. He called you Activities Carl. Cause Carl is all about on the road, like no sitting around. Who wants to go walking? Who wants to go to the mall, see a movie?
Explore the city.
Explore. And they're like, here goes Activities Carl again. Yeah. Filling the day.
Yeah.
I get so mad at Tyler when he doesn't take advantage of a great city. Yeah. I'm like, you're in bed in Vancouver? Like, what are you doing?
Totally. That was my issue, is like, especially, so we would almost always, when I was here in DC, go to New York in December. And I'm like, what better time is there to be in New York but December? And so the guys would do their pregame meal or breakfast, whatever they were doing, and then they'd go back to their rooms to rest and nap. And I'm like, who rests and naps on a game day? I'm like, let's get in that taxi and let's go down to the tree and look at the Christmas tree, go to a couple Christmas markets. I'm getting stocking stuffers.
Pretend we're in Home Alone.
And then get back to the hotel for like, you know, extra 30-minute rest, and then throw the suit on and leave. That was like, I have to take advantage.
Wait, so are you not a napper? You weren't a napper?
What? Okay, go ahead.
No, you weren't. And then we had kids and we were tired then. And then he wanted to be a napper. And I was like, well, we'll pump the brakes. You're not a napper. You don't get to disappear for 3 hours. But you can't
be a loser now.
You can't become a napper.
A word of caution to all young players. Set the standard early that you are at least a two and a half hour napper on game days.
Yeah, no napper.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a rarity to find a non-napper in, I mean, at least the ones I've come across.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah, the nap, I feel like you kind of play it by ear. You know, there's some days where you need a little extra time, but I don't know. I just, Activities Carl, I could not just lay in bed and not do something. So I had to use up every second of the day if possible.
Plus it like started when you had to share rooms. Like you'd be with Jay Beagle or somebody who was like a major napper, and maybe Carl only wanted to lay down for 45 minutes or something, but he wouldn't want to interrupt that person's deep nap. So he'd be like, okay, fine, I'll just leave and go and do something else.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
The problem is though, is if you tell people that you're not a napper and then they catch you napping one time, you never hear the end of it. And that did happen many, many times. I would nap on the plane. That's the only time I would try.
He still naps on the plane.
Yeah.
As soon as it fires up its engines, he's like, good night. And I'm like, see you in 9 hours when we get to Portugal with our three children. Like, jeez.
Conked out.
We always laugh at trying to explain to people outside of hockey about the nap. You know, it's just like
such a weird concept. Just a bunch of big kids just need their quiet time.
I need a big meal and a nap.
It is true. It is actually embarrassing to talk about and try to explain.
Yeah, we can't come. My husband's napping is like such a weird thing to say to people.
Honestly, I had an appointment at the house the other day. I had somebody coming here and Jeff is back in the lineup and I was just like, oh yeah, come at one. And then I'm like, oh no. You can't come at one. There's a child sleeping, a 37-year-old child.
It's nap time.
It's a big full grown child.
Our house here echoes, so I like can't answer a phone call during nap time.
Now you need to get him a sound machine because I have put a sound machine in our room because life has to continue on a Saturday when we have four children running around.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Anyways, that's so funny. I want to go back to how I didn't even realize this knowing you guys, how you guys met and then like entering into the world, into the NHL, the scary NHL world in Washington.
Oh, yeah. Take it away, Mandy.
Okay. We met in a really weird way. It was at LAX. I'm from Calgary. Carl's from Vancouver. So that was really weird. I was coming back from a family trip in Disneyland. I have a brother who's 14 years younger than me. So he was just a little baby and we were coming back from Disneyland and Carl was coming back from
Lake Havasu
with some hockey buddies in the off season of 2005. And him and his friends were trying to wheel me at the gate in front of my parents.
Does everybody know what wheel somebody means? You
yes,
think?
On this podcast.
On this podcast? Okay.
Yeah,
just making sure.
Yeah, I think that's our demo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I did not know this.
I was trying to play it pretty cool. It was tough. But Carl and his friends, like knowing Carl, super respectful, kind, outgoing guy. He was actually talking to my parents more than he was talking to me. which was really great, working his way in there. I know at one point he offered me a Starburst and I just was like, no. I don't even think I said no, thank you. I think I was probably just like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking to me in front of my mom. I was so embarrassed. But he got a little bit of info out of me, asked me what high school I went to.
I gotta take over. This is my favorite part of the whole story.
Okay, so go ahead. You do deserve a lot of credit. It's great.
Well, so just to kind of back up, it's like, you know, you are attracted to a certain type, right? And so when I saw Mandy in the airport, I was like, oh, that's my type. I'm single. Like, this would be great. So anyways, that's kind of how it started on my end, is I was like, okay, I'm going after this. But yeah, Mandy is one of her best qualities is she's great at just shutting it down. If you do not
it's
want,
a good quality,
if she,
guys.
No, if she doesn't want a piece of it, she's just like, nope, I'm not doing this. I don't want to go and do that. That's not for me. And so she was not having it. Come to find after, it was mainly, I think, because her family was right there and her little brother. So she wasn't going to start talking to these boys. At
I was
the
also
airport.
15 and you guys looked like you were 22. Like you looked old. They're all huge hockey players. So they looked older than they were. That's for sure.
So I got her name, right? I knew it was Mandy. And I knew she was going to Calgary because that's where we were going as well on the plane. So I was playing my junior hockey in Calgary at the time, but still living in Vancouver in the off season. So I knew two girls in the entire city of Calgary. One was my billet daughter, so the family that I lived with. They had a daughter who was a year younger than me, and she had introduced me to one of her friends at one time. And so I just asked them both, I'm like, hey, any chance you know a girl named Mandy that lives in Calgary? And at the time, a million people in Calgary, so they're just laughing. And the one girl's like, she's like, actually, I go to school with two girls named Mandy. She's like, one's blonde, one's brunette. I'm like, send me a picture of the brunette. Sends me a picture, and that's the Mandy.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So,
she was on my volleyball team.
Yeah. So
there you go.
It worked out good. Like, could you imagine? Like, let's just say, I don't even know. Like, living in well, let's say living in Montreal, right? If she would have lived in Laval and I would have lived in Brossard at a junior, that probably wouldn't have worked out, but it worked. It turned out that it was like I was living in Brossard and she was living in Candiac. Like it was,
yeah,
it was 15 minutes away from each other. So,
yeah,
It took a long time. I put in a lot of work, and eventually, actually, it was funny. Like her mom was finally just like, you know, give this guy a chance, you know, like invite him over to the house. And so I was so nervous to come over that I actually brought my best friend at the time on the hockey team, and we both went over. I'm like, I need some backup here. So
yeah,
we both went over to meet the family again. And yeah, eventually it worked. Maybe, what was it, like 4 months after, 5 months after we met?
Yeah, we met in July, and our 20th anniversary is coming up this September 17th.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You guys are really aging us quickly here. this is crazy. Okay, so you guys became a couple, obviously, dating, get married. You get drafted to the Capitals, and you move to Washington, or out east, so far from where y'all are from. Mandy, you go with him right away. Like, what happened there?
Yeah, so I went right away. I tried to do a little like online university to make myself feel better about following my boyfriend. but I didn't stick with it, guys. I didn't stick with it. Carl was up and down the first 2 years. So I was going between Hershey, DC, back to Calgary. I got in like a little bit of hot water with how much time I was spending in the US. So I would do my like 6 months. And then I started having a lot of trouble when I would travel down. I would go to secondary and, you know, they were just doing their jobs, but they would hold me long enough that I would miss my flight. And because I didn't really have a lot of, aside from my family being in Calgary, I didn't really have a lot of reason to come back when my boyfriend, who was like, obviously my whole world, was away. So they were like, are you sure you're going to come back? Anyways, so we ended up getting married pretty young, but when we, then that was, I mean, for lots of reasons, but mostly so that I could easily live in the US without having so many issues. But that's kind of like how we started. When Carl was drafted to Washington, I knew very little about hockey. When he was drafted to Washington, I full on thought it was Washington State. And I was like, this is going to be a breeze. Yeah. It's so close.
Oh,
like, yeah. I'll visit you. I'll just drive down there. No problem.
The other thing too is like, sorry, Kat, I know you got something to say just before I forget, because my brain works, is that because I was 20 and 21 when we were going up and down to Hershey in Washington, but she's 2 years younger. So she was 18, 19. So we're trying to like, as a team, go out to this place called Shakey's, like this tiny little spot in Hershey. And she can't get in anywhere. I can barely get in, and not until I turn 21. So it's like, what do we do as the underage kids here while the whole team is going out Sunday night after a big weekend in Hershey? So it was a funny dynamic. We had an unbelievable time in Hershey. Like looking back on it now, like everybody knows that when you're in the minors, like you just cannot wait to get out of the minors so bad. And sometimes you don't enjoy it enough. And I think we had bits and pieces of that. We enjoyed it a ton, but didn't fully submerge ourselves in it, partially because we were too young, but also just because we're like, want to get out of there.
And we were in and out because you were getting called up. It's kind of hard. I felt like the dynamic was a little bit difficult because when you're the player that's getting called up and the over other people, it's hard to kind of get into the hockey family because there might be a little bit of an undertone of jealousy there. And then for me, trying to mix in with the wives, I have great relationships with them all now. But again, I was so young, like 17, 18 years old when I first moved down there. So just hard. Like these women had been around the hockey world and really grinding it out in the American League for a long time. And then we're just like, hey, and then we would leave and then we'd come back. And then we got to win two cups with Hershey, which was so fun, and celebrate with them. But you always had your eye on the bigger league, you know, so we weren't really taking it all in, or maybe we took it for granted a little bit. And then when we were out of Hershey, we're like, man, that place was so cool because there was nothing to do except hang out with your hockey friends. Like nothing at all. We did some fun stuff. Carl and I are major party planner people, and we thought of some fun things to do to pass the time.
Into party planning later with you guys and happy Halloween.
It's our jam.
It's so interesting you saying the flag thing, because that's part of this world too that people don't totally understand, mm-hmm. is the number of days if you're a Canadian that you can spend in America, you know?
Yeah,
so right. When Ty and I first started dating in LA, there were tons of young girls, Canadian young girls, and they were dealing with that same issue, and like all of a sudden they just have to leave.
Right. Yeah. Like, you have to leave. And then I also felt
tag up.
Yeah. I felt like I got a lot of questions, you know, like, well, what do you do for work? And I struggled with that quite a bit because I wasn't allowed to work here. There were some girls that were nurses who could get a job because, you know, you can, but I couldn't work. And mm-hmm. it was almost like, oh, I just really hated saying that. Whenever anybody would say, what do you do for work? I felt like I had to like make something up I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to have a job.
Totally. I remember in Edmonton, the same sort of thing, like Jeff and I got married and going up, like we got married and then I moved up there. And I only got a work visa when I got to Montreal. I think maybe because I spent a certain amount of time in Canada,
yeah.
then I was allowed to get a work visa. But in Edmonton, like I would just do these odd jobs under the table just to make myself feel like I had purpose, because
like
every day. Yeah. Well, like I would like go, I remember I worked at this like food prep kitchen when the owner became one of our dearest friends. Like long story there, but like adore that family. I worked for a bar studio, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to become a bar instructor. And they would all like pay me under the table or just tell me I could like have free food or, you know, come take classes for free.
Yeah.
And things like that. Cause you had to build your own purpose when, especially the cross border situation, but even domestically, like if you're from the United States, you never know how long you're going to be in a city. So it's like, you can't like go get a new job and be like, but I could only be here for like 9 months.
Yeah.
And even like you live, you know, in a different state. No, nobody's going to hire you.
No. Best case scenario, I'm here until June and then I'm leaving. So,
yeah. I think it's the constant struggle. And especially for the younger girls in the league coming in, you're just like, you feel like a bump on a log and you're like, what is my purpose? And it can be very hard and challenging to maneuver if you don't, you know, find a path or find, you know, a new hobby, I guess.
Yeah. That was a big thing for me in Washington that got me involved with the team's philanthropy side of things, because I wasn't allowed to work. And the Caps, their organization is really wonderful for sort of championing whatever cause is important to us. So they have their own pillars, but you could kind of come to them and say, you know, like I've worked with Make-A-Wish, or this is really important to me. And they would make an effort to make that a priority. So I just threw myself into the Caps initiatives and everything that they were doing. And I feel like when Carl retired from hockey, that was the biggest thing that we missed, was getting involved in the community, because it's so much easier to do through a team mm-hmm. or through having a platform. So when he was done playing and we lived in a small town in BC, I was like, what do we do? So we found our way back down here to DC, and it just was, we wanted to get back involved in the community. And that was a huge reason why we moved back to the city, because it was just missing. We felt like it was really missing.
So clearly you guys love DC, having, you know, played there for what we call it, 10 years, a decade or so. And, you know, you leave and you move back home to Canada and you realize you miss it so much. What made your time in DC so special when you played there, and that organization? What was it about it and the players there?
There's a lot. I'd say some of the main things, and you guys will know because you guys had a great run in Montreal, that when you're on a team that has success, the relationships off the ice become so much tighter as well. Mm-hmm. And we had 9 years, not all of the years, but a majority of them, where we had a lot of success, mainly regular season success. But still, it was like, everything was so much fun, right? You leave the rink and it's like, another win, you know, let's go and have fun. And yeah, you know, we didn't take ourselves all that serious. We kind of joked that we were a country club here, and we just would go out and it's like we were just messing around on the ice and get wins. It was tons of fun. And so just the atmosphere was always great. Like we never had times of, you know, darkness, you know what I mean?
There was one year we didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, one year, that was it.
Of that whole time. Yeah, the hockey was really good. The fans are super supportive, but not like overbearing. There's lots going on in DC. Mm-hmm. Like hockey players are popular and famous or whatever, but not to the extent that they are in Montreal. Nice. You know, like
no amount like, of focus.
Right. Yeah. Like, you're like
LA.
Yes. LA a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you're in a restaurant and like you could have someone from government sitting at the table next to you who's got like Secret Service standing at the door. Like you're not really like you're important, but you're like not really. So that's right. And there's lots of exciting things to do here. And it's such a cool city. It's also really clean and really beautiful and so much to do. The seasons compared to where I'm from, especially, I was like, I don't want to do the snow anymore. So that was a big consideration for me. I know you, Carl likes the snow. He's a winter guy.
I get a little bit of it.
Just like a tiny bit, like once or twice a year. And I'm like, this is plenty.
Yeah.
This is great.
And you'd be surprised to know that I really enjoy talking to people and meeting cool people and stuff like that. So being in DC where you get to meet some interesting ones, that was always fun too, right? Like you never know. You know, we just had our little league baseball draft, and one of the guys in it had to leave for an hour because he had to take a call with the White House. And I'm just like, where the heck are we? You know, like, it doesn't make any sense, and it just feels like we're in a movie. Cool. So it's just a really nice place to live. It kind of just grabbed a hold of us, and we missed it the second we left. So the plan was to always come back. We just needed to figure out how to get back here.
I felt like especially connected to DC. I feel like coming here so young, my parents were divorced. So I moved around a lot as a kid. So I never really felt super settled. And then the 9 years that we spent here, 7 of which I was here full time and like went through some like a treacherous battle to have kids and that kind of stuff that really, once you go through something like that and then get through to the other side, the place where it happens, it feels very, you feel very rooted and connected to that place. And leaving DC, I was gutted. I did not want to leave here. It felt like home. It was like the longest time I'd ever been really in one place and felt rooted. And I did not want to go. They had to like drag me out of here. I was like, no, I'm not leaving.
What was it like coming into the league with Mr. Ovechkin himself and, you know, him already established, you know, fixture here for the Capitals. And then, you know, leading the rest of the way, like what is his presence like in a room?
Oh, well, it spans not just the room, it's the entire city, or what we would say the DMV, you know, DC, Maryland, Virginia. He's just completely turned the hockey scene on its head in this area, which is phenomenal. I think it's one of the first sports people mention here now, which is very, very cool. But in terms of the dressing room, it kind of takes it over. It's you're just kind of in the room and revolving around whatever Ovi does. And it was best way to describe it is, so when I was coming in, I was so excited to see, you know, some of these players that I had watched growing up and curious to see how they handle themselves, right? And so when you go into a team, and I'm thinking of the leader, I'm thinking of like a Anze Kopitar, a Shea Weber, right? Like that's kind of the leader that I'm thinking. Ovi is completely different than that. Ovi is like, he's quite loud. He doesn't spend all the time in the gym, training, getting in shape. He isn't the first on the ice, the last off the ice, you know. He's kind of the opposite of what you would have expected. And I'd say that it was a good thing for a lot of people because it almost took the pressure off, right? It's like you're like, okay, well, if this guy's able to still show up to games and play and be successful, maybe I don't have to grind my you know, my body into the ground and my brain, you know, racking my brain over every little detail of the game. You know, maybe I can enjoy myself a little bit more because it's working for him. And so it was just a completely different leadership style than I was thinking. And in the end, probably was good. But he without a doubt was, he took over that room. You always knew where he was because you could hear he wears this like a very big diamond gold chain. And everywhere he would walk or like he would do this little like jog and you could just hear ching, 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 ching everywhere. He's going like a cat with a little ball on the collar. So it was just funny, right? He's just a different guy. But yeah, a lot of interesting memories being around the rink with him.
Rookie party is his like,
yes,
but not super appropriate stories to retell.
Okay, I think it's no secret that, you know, especially when they won the cup, everyone saw that he enjoys drinking a few beers. But like, give you an example, we had a rookie party one time in Florida and we got there and he went to go order his Bud Lights. And they're like, oh, we don't serve Bud Lights here. And so he made two of the rookies leave their rookie party and go to CVS and pick up a 12 pack of Bud Lights and then had them bring over like, you know, those white wine or champagne holders that you have beside your table full of ice. So he brought over some of those where he could put his Bud Lights in them. Right. It's just like, it's like, this is what I want. This is what I want on my rookie party dinner that I'm going to be at. I need that. But in terms of pranks, you guys obviously know what a shoe check is, right? So for anybody who doesn't know, it's you typically would have a rookie sneak underneath the table at a meal and they would dump ketchup or mayonnaise on someone else's shoe. And then they'd sneak back to their chair and then they'd get up and then everybody would ding, 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 ding on their glass and you'd check your feet, make sure it wasn't you. And whoever it was had to stand up and kind of, you know, take it like a champ.
Someone, so dumb.
So it's so dumb, but you know what? I almost have like, I don't want to, you know, this word means a lot, but let me just say in my own mind, I have PTSD whenever I hear someone clink a glass. My initial thought is, oh my gosh, shoe check, right? Like that's how nerve-wracking it was. But anyways, we shoe checked Obi one time at a rookie dinner, and he did not like it.
One time.
One time. Yes. He got up and
that's
left.
That's the end.
Yes.
That's it.
It took some time to get him to come back to the room after that.
So to say nobody pranked Obi after that, like nobody's pranking him, or are some of the older vets like going to try to pull some fast one on him?
Nobody really pranked him after that. I think it was, normally when you poke fun at someone and they like get really offended, it's like you want to go back and do it again. I think one was enough for him, for all of us.
Yeah. What about, is Ovi like dressing up at team Halloween parties? Like, is he going all out or is he kind of just throwing a, you know, white cloth and be a ghost?
Well, we have a party at his house once.
Yes, we did. Yes.
We did. That was an interesting experience. Going into his home, he has so many achievements. And, you know, like when you score your first goal or your first hat trick or whatever, and the team puts together like a nice framed like thing with the pucks. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you guys. His house. the entire basement. Every single surface of every wall in the basement is covered with his own accomplishments. And like, kudos to him because he has a lot. But like runneth over into his garage, every single, like the whole place. I was like, whoa, what's that from? What's that for?
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool to see. It's not,
he's going to have to get a bigger house.
It's like a museum.
It is. Well, he's actually starting a stick museum, I think, back in Russia with all the sticks he's collected. So that's, he just loves memorabilia. And, you know, I like some stuff too, but, you know, there's a balance between shrine and design, and he's gotten more shrine.
But no, to answer your question, I can't really remember notable costumes, so I would say he's probably like go to Party City and get something. He participates, but I wouldn't say that he like goes all out or anything. No.
Well, nobody can compare to the Allsners at Halloween. Let's just preface that they are the king and queen of hockey Halloween. If you can go back and pull up, you guys can go on there. I think your foundation page now has like a spot to just what y'all have been for Halloween over the past years that I've seen you. But I mean, these guys go all out. What has, what, I guess I think we should explain to the people that Hockey Halloween, like, what it kind of means. Again, another childish sort of tradition around the hockey world, but it means so much to the team and the bond. And I have a theory that if you have a great Halloween party, your season is going to be great. And
I love that theory. I think there's something to that for sure. It's right at the beginning of the season. It was always the first thing I looked at, like, when are we home? And there's going to be a day off the next day leading up to Halloween. Sometimes, very rarely, it would be like a day or two after Halloween, but we would work on making sure we had a day. We would plan an epic party, and it was just a big, huge deal. Sometimes a house party, sometimes we rent out a venue, which is always interesting because it's never really on Halloween. And then we have all these fires downtown, like the one time downtown in DC. It's like Tuesday night, the bar is supposed to be closed, but we'll rent it out and we'll have our party there. But yeah, the one year in Montreal that I helped plan it, me and Angela Price planned it, and we were both pregnant. But I was like, I can't let this opportunity to go back. I have to help plan.
It was a great party.
It was a good one.
I remember specifically at that party where, and you probably remember this too, but Shay got a little, we were all having tons of fun. He somehow got his hands on someone's belt from their costume that had this like massive metal buckle on it. And he was whipping people with it as they walked by, and it was so dumb looking back on it now, but he whipped me as I walked by, and I just kept walking, and then it hurt, but I turned and looked at him and was like, what was that? Something touched me. And he laughed. He's like, what, you didn't feel that? And I'm like, no, what was it? And he goes and whips me again with the belt. And I was like, I'm not going to react. I'm not going to give him what he wants. So then he turns it over to the buckle side and went, whack, as hard as it could on the back of my legs. And same thing, I didn't react. And then I went to the bathroom, and I'm in the bathroom like, oh my God, what did that guy just do? And I showed up at the rink the next day, the whole back of my legs, my whole hamstrings were all black and blue. I mean, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. Do not mess with Shea Weber. Note to everybody listening.
Yeah, I mean, that's minor stories for Hockey Halloween. I feel like it is, like Mandy said, it's the kickoff, kind of the kickoff to the season, and
it establishes the vibe of the team that year.
For sure, yeah. It's a big one. I look forward to it every year, and it kind of sets the tone. Sometimes there's lots of single guys, sometimes there's lots of married. Yeah, so it's kind of like the dynamic changes all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost better when everyone's pretty much everyone's married and has kids, mm-hmm. because then they go all out. So like, I haven't been out of the house in so long, and like these moms are like free.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. It's like a night out. We would have family come in like to look after the kids the next day. Like, we took the Halloween party so seriously. Like, I need childcare the next morning.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to be getting up feeling like myself. That's for sure.
It's very fun.
It's always fun to see what everybody dresses up as afterwards. Or
yeah.
Ty and I are so bad at the couple costume. Like,
most of really?
We don't even – yeah, we don't even do one half the time. Like, he'll just come out and he's like, I'm going to be Britney Spears, so where are you going to be?
Actually, I do think we should pull up Kat and Ty's costumes, because I don't think I've ever seen you guys what you show up as.
No, we like literally never are a couple costume. We're just like doing whatever.
Well, it's tough because, all of a sudden Halloween creeps up on you a lot of times. You're like, oh, shoot, like, what should we get? And then you see, you see all these recommendations, and maybe you're like, oh, I don't want to do that because other people are going to do it.
It's
and then
been
you,
done.
Yeah, when you panic, right? So what we end up doing is like, just throughout the year, if something is funny or whatever it may be, we just write little notes like, okay, this would be a fun thing to do come Halloween. And then it's September, August, September, and we've got a list of a few different options, and then it's just trying to agree on something is the tough thing.
That's where we struggle, is agreeing. But we either like to be funny, or we like to just pick something and just do it 100.
Yeah.
Do it full out. I have learned over the years that if you search like last year we were, Carl was Henry VIII and I was Anne Boleyn. And if you search Henry VIII Halloween costume, then you get some like Party City version of Henry VIII and it's not great. So the key is to search cosplay. And if you, as soon as you search cosplay, it's like you want to look really professional, and that's how you source good costumes.
I love how you guys have brought Hockey Halloween and that love for that into your post-career life and into your foundation, which I really want you guys to expand on. I think it's really cool how your story is really full circle and how you're back in DC because you missed that philanthropic part of your life that hockey brought to you. And I think that's so important to kind of give more people light into, because it's across the board in the NHL. The teams, some more than others, just do such a wonderful job bringing these opportunities to us, especially as young couples in that have sort of a platform to get involved in your home away from home. And then for your guys' instance is really creating that home environment and like, wait, I want to lay down roots here. Like, this is where I put so much time and energy into, and it gave you a sense of identity. And that's exactly what you guys did with the Alsner Foundation. And you guys have hit the ground running, just all sorts of initiatives. It's really cool to see. And so you guys had your first big event last summer. You have one coming up. Just explain what y'all's mission is with the foundation.
Okay, well, so we're called the Alsner Foundation, and we are raising money and sort of like awareness. We're using our platform to amplify the voices of smaller nonprofits in the area that focus on youth sports and enrichment programs. So sports have had obviously a massive impact on Carl's life, mine as well. When I was a kid, we were raising three kids of our own that are all very active and play lots of sports. We know there's lots of barriers to entry. It's expensive. It's hard to find access. DC, there's lots of kids, inner city kids, that don't have opportunities to try new sports. You know, transportation can be difficult. So really what we're trying to do with the Alsner Foundation is find those smaller nonprofits that are really doing the work and lift them, provide some funding and try to amplify what they're doing, give them a voice and a platform. So our first event, it's called Swing Into Summer. So it's become an annual thing, because the first one, I mean, it went really well. I'm proud of us. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it went really good. We do a celebrity home run derby and slow pitch softball game. So we called in all the favors with all of our friends, and we were able to field two teams to come out and sell out a college baseball field. And the fans just got to watch the guys and women. Actually, we had female athletes out there as well, which was super important to me. And they played a full softball game. We started with a home run derby, and we did the full thing. And then we had an after party for all of our sponsors and stuff afterwards. And yeah, we're going to do it again this year, May 31st.
Yeah, it was like, so our... Obviously, the mission is the mission, but with the events that we hold, we want them to be just like extremely memorable, right? Mm-hmm. We want like golf tournaments are great. Galas are great. You know, they do what they're supposed to do and raise lots of money. But we really want everyone to participate, to really think they're doing it a little bit different and it's so much fun. I want to go back and support, whether it's financially or just with some time. And so that's why, one of the reasons why we did the softball, because two guys in Kelowna had done one, Josh George's and Blake Como, and it was the most fun I had at an event like that. So we're like, we need to replicate that in DC, and then we want to do a Halloween party instead of a sit-down gala.
So. Our version of a gala. So yes. That's kind of our sort of like an evening event where we had everybody dress up, we had live music, we had a show. It was awesome.
All right. Well, we like to wind down with our quick shootout questions. So, we'll alternate with you guys here. So, Mandy, hockey mom or hockey wife? Which do you prefer?
Oh, hockey wife. I don't like the cold rinks. Not a fan.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Also don't like the early mornings. Give me an evening game, please.
Yeah. But not too late.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Carl, this is kind of a loaded question, but what's your favorite memory in the NHL?
Oh, man. Oh, favorite memory in the NHL. It's, well, okay, I'm going to have to go with, like, my favorite on-ice memory because there's so many great off-ice moments. But my favorite on-ice moment in the NHL was actually a first-round playoff victory. And it was we played Boston, and Boston had just come off winning the Cup, and people thought that they were going to win again. And we had no business even being on the same ice as them. And we ended up taking them to Game 7 in Boston. It was in overtime. The Bruins had a chance to score. A weird play kind of banked off the net, went back door. Their guy shot it. I did what I do, and I just flopped down in front of the net to try and block shots. And it, like, just barely nicked my skate. The puck went around up the ice, and then Joel Ward, Mike Knuble, crashing the net, and Joel Ward puts one in to win the series in a place like Boston, to beat Boston they thought they were so much better than us. And they were, you know, they're better than us for the most part. But
that was a good moment.
It was such a crazy relief. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like if that was in the finals or even past the second round. But it was so much fun. We really came together as a team then. And Joel Ward, like, if you guys know anything about Joel Ward, he's like one of the perfect human beings for this to happen to. It was a very nice moment for me.
All right. Your favorite professional sport to go to as a family, besides hockey?
Oh, okay. I really like going to baseball games, but Julie, you'll know this. They're only there for the snacks. Yeah. So, like, between the three kids, we get to our seats, they want a snack. We get to the seats, we got to go into the bathroom. We get to the seat, I'm just like, can we watch the baseball game, please?
Long lines.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah. I really love going to a baseball game. We're outside. If the weather's not too hot, it gets smoking hot here in the summer. But, yeah, baseball all day long. You too?
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Finally, what's your favorite way to spend an off day?
Together or apart? Or what would you say?
I'm
together.
I know your answer. It's not with me. So,
all right, let's go together. Here, what's a together off day?
We really love going out to eat. I think that it would probably be something along the lines of getting outside, doing something outside, and followed up by a couple different restaurants. We love food. And so we're always trying to find somewhere to go, and eat. And then, I mean, honestly, if it was without the kids too, we would probably end up at a movie or at a baseball game. Like, that's
something like that.
It's pretty much how it works these days. You know, we used to go to every single movie that ever came out, right? Like, we would do the Oscars sheet, like, who's going to win Best Picture. And we would, you know, typically know most of the answers. And so the fact that we don't get to do that nearly as much when we do have time, that's what we end up doing.
Also, haven't been to a non-kids movie in forever. And Carl, let it be known, he really wanted to say golf to that end.
Yes.
Like, to that question, he really, really wanted to.
The ideal day is I go and golf. I probably play 36 holes and Mandy walks alongside the whole time. And we enjoy it.
Carry his clubs. I caddy for him while he golfs, and then we go to dinner.
And then you'll have a romantic dinner out.
Yes.
After.
That will be Carl's best day.
Yeah.
Adventure, Carl.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, playing golf with me is an adventure. So, yes, I live up to the name.
No. Thank you, you guys. This is so much fun. You guys are just the best, and can't wait to just see what else is next for y'all with everything you're doing over there.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you. Keep rocking.
Great. This is awesome. I love doing like a wives side of things, wives perspective of the hockey world. It's so cool. I'm sure people are loving listening. It's so, so awesome.
I just love them. Like, they are the best humans ever. And I'll say it once, I'll say it again. To know them is to love them. Best storytellers.
They're so, I had never met them, as we said, and they're great. I find them as friends now. So thanks for the intro.
Oh yeah. And we'll figure out, we actually went on a trip with them. They're like good traveling people. Like they're the traveling couple, you know, you meet people and you're like, yeah, we're friends, but never go on vacation with them. They are like, I want to plan every vacation with them. Jeff and I had a trip to Napa planned and we could invite four couples, and we invited four couples kind of from all different walks of our life, which could have gone very wrong, but the Alsners were one of them, and it was just like we could not imagine everybody's going to get along with, you know, when the Alsners are there.
That's the best compliment, honestly, being a good travel partner, because when you have a good friend and they're not good at traveling, that is rough.
Yeah.
Carl was on, since this is updated now, Carl was he was on TV a little bit around this OV chase too, which was cool to watch. So
yeah, it was really fun seeing him do stuff. Rocking my Line Change sweatshirt.
Awesome.
Just gotta love it. Kat, I see you're wearing a little Line Change.
I love this one.
We're all giving the love today. I love it.
Yep.
Congratulations to the entire Ovechkin family. The whole thing has just been awesome. So
it has been fun to watch. Thanks, Sophie. It's been fun.
Sophie.
Well, I love that the Alsners are big baseball people, because now I love being back in a big, you know, baseball market here in San Jose, San Francisco. So I went to a Giants game yesterday with Ty, opening weekend. I grew up going to that ballpark. So it's cool and very weird that I kind of became a traitor of this ballpark
in
working for the Dodgers forever and pledging my allegiance forever to the Dodgers. But now I'm back to being, you know, just a fan at the Giants ballpark. So it's fun to go to those too. So what about you?
I love that. We had a big weekend of Red Wings hockey every day, but going to the Tigers game today, actually. Just
really shifting to baseball.
I know. I am just full on Detroit sports right now. It was really fun though this weekend. My boys, they've kind of started doing something new after the games. If the guys win, they're allowed to go in the locker room. But my older son has kind of clued in to like where the opposing team walks out is right by the exit of our locker room. So he's like, if I stick my head out there at the right time, I might see some of my favorite players walk by. And I'm like,
that's cool.
Yeah, you might. So, and I can kind of hang out on that side of things because it's just outside of the locker room. And so this weekend we played Carolina and then we played Florida yesterday. So Friday night, Carolina's walking out and Brent Burns walking out, and he's got like that massive backpack that everybody, you know, all of the pictures. And apparently he just carries everything in there from a coffee pot to like Normatec pant, like recovery pants, like
did not know this
everything. But my little guy Bowen, my five-year-old, sees him walk by and goes, what's in that fat backpack of yours? And he just looks over him, he's like, come carry it for me. And as he walks back, and it was so funny. And then my other son had a cowboy hat on and he was like, love your hat, man. So my boys were just like on cloud nine. But then last night Florida is leaving and Matthew Tkachuk is leaving, and my oldest like just beelined for him. And they, coming off Four Nations, they were just enthralled with the Team USA and, you know, the fighting and the Tkachuk brothers, like the whole story. Like they found a new idol within them. So
cute.
To get to meet him was just amazing, but he's so great. Fun for him. But Boyd, like, and him had this like really deep conversation, which was like so sweet. I was like 1 year in, 1 year out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Matthew's the oldest. And he was just telling Boyd, my oldest, he's like, listen, he's like, when you play with your brothers, he's like, don't go easy on them. He's like, go play as hard as you can on them. It's going to make both of you guys better, but don't fight with your brothers. You know, and when your little brother beats you every now and then, don't fight with them, but just learn how to get better from them beating you. But he's like, never take it easy on him because it's going to make all you guys better. And, you know, he's your brother.
I love this wisdom.
My gosh. I was like, thank you. I mean, I'm sure him and his brother fought many a times and we should have his mom on. But what he was telling my son was just I loved it. And just a testament to the kind of player he is and realizing, you know, he's a role model to these little boys watching him.
How sweet. That's it really, really sweet.
It was really a sweet moment. So
wow.
Had such a, that was really fun. And it's fun to just see my older son really like, you know, it's a confidence boosting thing because it's like scary. Little shout out though to Meredith Goudreau. Just announced that she, yeah, they had their third baby boy or their third baby, a little boy.
She guessed it. She guessed it. She knew.
Yeah, she knew. Carter Michael. So congrats to Meredith and the whole Goudreau family. We are just so proud of you and excited that he is here and just to be loved on so much.
Yep. Yeah, congratulations to Meredith and the whole family. We're so happy for you guys.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Never Offside with Julie and Kat. We just appreciate all the feedback so much. I think over the last couple of weeks, Kat and I really have been feeling the love and just continue writing in to us of what you want to hear. Just anything and everything helps. And even just the words of encouragement means so much to us. We're having so much fun. Like, subscribe, follow, share, all the things. On whatever podcast platform that you listen to.
Yep. We'll see you next week.